This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 1041 FM KMOX. Happy Thursday. Turned into a decent day out there. It's supposed to be gorgeous this weekend and in the upper 80s this time next week. So enjoy that. Two of my favorite people in the world are here, Tamara from Clementines and my buddy Jimmy Griffin. And they're doing a project together. And I couldn't be more excited. Good to see you, love.
Thank you.
You look fabulous as usual.
Thank you. Thank you.
So who's first and who's second?
Let me be the unicorn. So tell us, either one of you, both of you at the same time, what the project is and how this brainchild came about.
Well, we wanted to do something really cool that no other ice cream company had ever done for our 10-year anniversary. And we've been working on this for 10 years. And we wanted to do a really cool ice cream album of songs all about ice cream. And hopefully maybe some of them about Clementines, which we got to. And so we reached out to our friends and said, hey, do you want to write a song and produce a song and play a song for us and be on our record? And so we're coming out with the first album on ice cream.
That's so cool. I love it. So Faulkner, our buddy Tim Convey, we have a great friend group.
Yeah.
We really do.
Yeah.
St. Louis rocks. We have amazing musicians.
We're the cream, if you would say.
That's right.
That's right. So what did you think when you first heard this?
It was presented to me, Jim Harper, who's kind of the creative guy behind this thing, who I've known since like Pave the Rocket in the 90s and stuff. But he was like, hey, Clementines wants to do this thing. Can you write a song about ice cream? And for me, songwriting is always like, it just hits me in the head rather than I have to like mathematically do something.
Yeah.
And I was on a trip with Lisa and Rocket and Viv, and we were driving, and I'm like, how am I going to do this? What do I want to say about ice cream? And I went to bed with it in my brain, and I woke up with just a world made of ice cream. And that's what the whole song was about. And Viv helped me with it. She was like Googling Clementine. She was like, their most popular flavor is gooey butter cake. And that wound up in the song. And they also have this one and that. And that just all the lines, it all just came together, man. I woke up with it and just, I was like, there was guitars where we happened to be. And I wrote it all in a morning, which is also weird because I never write in the morning.
Yeah.
So it was a really fun thing to do. And I thought the track came out great, and I took it to Sawhorse and all my fabulous friends that are, you know, I go in there with like a Lincoln Log version of something and walk out with a Boeing plane, you know, so it was great.
That's daunting. Like, I've written a few songs, mostly about Tamara. It's really hard to rhyme once you get past Mascara, which, you know, it's a whole album. But to have someone say, write a song about this for this person, that's...
I wanted it to be. I would love to hear a version of this song with just kids singing it instead of me, because I wanted to make it like a kid, you know, because kids love ice cream, and I wanted it to be that kind of like song, you know, where anybody could sing it.
Yeah,
you know.
So I've only known you as being successful. So take me back when you just had the idea about Clementines. Like, how quickly did it catch on?
Gosh, well, you know, I started the company in 2014, and it took me like 6 to 8 months to get the company kind of up and running, because then it was me, right? Doing, making the ice cream, doing the deliveries, selling the ice cream, you know, all the stuff.
Do you miss those times?
Not at all.
Good for you. Honest.
It's good to have a team now, right? You get big enough to have a team. But it was hard. I heard something the other day that if you've never sat in the dark with your hands on your head going, what did I do? How am I going to get out of this? How am I going to pay for it? You haven't really like earned your stripes yet, like as a business owner.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And I was like, I thought back to the early days, since this is our 10-year anniversary, of like that was like every week then.
Yeah.
You know? So it's bittersweet because.
Was there a moment that you went, I think this is going to work?
I think, you know, after we opened Lafayette Square and we had the lines out the door, like 6-7 hour lines around that went around the block that like, well, they went fast, but like they never ended. And I was like, holy crud, right?
Yeah.
Like I need to get another parlor opened. And so when we got DeMunn open like a year and a half later, and then I was like, oh, okay, we'll alleviate the lines and blah, blah, blah. And then we had the same lines there. And it was like, that was the moment I said, oh, I think we have something here.
Yeah.
And I'm going for it.
Jim, how about you? All of our years together, I never asked you this question. Was there ever a time where you really thought about just making music a hobby and you're going to go work somewhere else?
Oh, yeah. Right around ska was when
that did
I
it
was,
to a lot of us.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, man, I can't get a gig and trombone players are getting laid all over the place. Like it didn't make sense to me at that point. But no, it would like I always at the you know those times where you kind of go underground. Like I would, that's when I started doing restaurant gigs, and I'd sit in the corner and play Elvis Costello and Paul Simon songs, and had food on my plate and stuff like that. And then
paid the bills.
Yeah, and then there's ups and downs, and I've been through both of them, man. Yeah. I've been like, we're on MTV, and then I'm working in a record store, and and then it all, you just have to stick with it. And it, as long as you are focused and you have some sort of either vision or openness to changing your vision,
yeah,
you can go that way.
I know it's like important. Choosing between your kids, but does anything stand out for you like, this was my favorite? You know, like King of the Hill or Monstero or anything that were just like, this is my real love.
My life now is pretty awesome.
Good for you.
Just where I don't have to do anything I don't want to do. I play with people I like. I play music I like. It's all, you know, and I have so many opportunities and so many wonderful people around me.
That's great.
It's great.
We're talking to Tamara from Clementines and our buddy Jimmy Griffin, and they have a new project. It is an album all about ice cream called Tasty Tracks on Wax. We're going to play Jimmy's song here in a couple of minutes. But first of all, you were just named Small Business Person of the Year for the entire state of Missouri.
I was?
Yes. I'm so glad I could be the one to tell you.
It's the second big announcement of the day, right? The Pope and now this.
That's right.
And evidently, you're the under-Pope. So. Jimmy Griffin is Pope. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
My vote.
I would, yeah.
Got my vote.
I'd co-sign that. That's a cool Pope.
Come out on the balcony with the guitar.
That's right.
Oh, man.
It's that whole celibacy thing that's holding me back.
That would be kind of hard.
That holds back millions of people a year.
That's right.
And so for some others, it's the top of their resume.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I haven't had sex in a really long time, so I'm pretty qualified. So congratulations on that. That's
Thank
great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. What's the future? Like, how big are you dreaming?
Oh, you know, we are going to be a national brand. So we're getting ready to go into Kansas City this year and Bentonville. And we're going to get to 40 parlors within 5 years.
Wow.
And I'm going to start franchising.
Mm-hmm.
I want to grow this thing. Like,
yeah.
The world needs Clementine's ice cream.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much bad ice cream out there in the world. And, like, isn't like with music, right? Like, if you're going to listen to music, listen to great music. If you're going to have ice cream, eat great ice cream or don't eat it at all.
Mm-hmm. Anyone ripping you off yet? Trying to use your recipes? And
lots of them.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That's that, you know, what did they say?
Imitation
is the best form of flattery.
Yeah.
So I know that I'm doing something right. I guess when they stop trying to copy me, I should worry.
Right. Very good. So where do people pick this up? How do they pick it up? What, you know?
So the albums are for sale in all of our parlors. And then I think you're going to have some for sale at different gigs and things well.
Anybody that's on the record. Yeah. Anybody that's on the record will get some and they'll be able to pass them along.
That's very cool. Yeah. Really cool. Anything else we need to talk about before we play the song?
No, I'm excited for like I've been playing this because we did this back in August because it was supposed to come out at a certain other time. Anyway, so I've played this song at gigs. I did it at Strawberry, like just by myself. And then I've done it with the band with the horns.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
People just like they and I want to get like those like Ramones signs with the Hey Ho, but like with the chorus for this song, and just make everybody sing it.
Oh, that's fun.
And you guys are going to have a listening party.
We are. We are. So actually, our anniversary is coming up for 10 years since we opened our first parlor. And so we have like fun things happening every day. So Monday, May 12th, if you come in and buy ice cream, you get a free waffle cone or waffle bowl. Tuesday, we're having the listening party at 6 o'clock at our Macklin location. So come out, have some ice cream, listen to the record.
That's
It'll be
my
really
local
fun.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wednesday, May 14th, we're going to do a cocktail and ice cream pairing at Cleveland Heath in Edwardsville.
Ooh, that's a good place.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. And then on the 15th of May, we're going to do scavenger hunts in all the parlors so you could win like a free ice cream for a year. And then Sunday, we're going to do 10-cent ice cream cones all day long.
Nice.
While supplies last.
Yes.
So come out and get 10-cent ice cream cones.
Very cool. All right, let's hear this song.
Have you ever put a rainbow in your mouth? Have you ever tasted a dream? And come along with me to the land of sweet flavor, where everything is made of ice cream. We could fly a chocolate airplane through marshmallow clouds, stick a spoon into the sherbet sun, ride a rowboat made of cookies down a hot fudge river to a tasty world of magic and fun. Have you ever put a rainbow in your mouth? Have you ever tasted a dream? Come along with me to the land of sweet flavor, where everything is made of ice cream. We could tumble down a sugar cone mountain, go swimming in a pool of caramel, or stroll down by the lake of gooey butter cake, watch the tutti frutti wizard cast a spell. Have you ever put a rainbow in your mouth? Have you ever tasted a dream? And the sweet flavors, where everything is made of ice cream. So come along with me if you're ready to leave this salty, bitter world behind. I'll see you in the sweetest place that you could ever dream. I'll meet you at the door of Clementine's. I'll see you in the sweetest place that you could ever dream. I'll meet you at the door of Clementine's. I'll meet you at the door of Clementine's.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
GS 1041 FM KMOX. Happy Thursday to you. Well, that was fun. We have good friends.
Yeah.
We really do. When I get down in the dumps, which is most of the time because I'm mentally ill and I'm very open about this, I need to remind myself what an amazing life I have.
Yeah.
Really is.
Yeah. It's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
Do you think the experiences and the things that you've gotten to do that other people just don't?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they have their own, like everybody's got their own
everyone's
thing.
Everyone's got their stuff.
But, yeah, not everybody's been in a cool band with, you know.
Coolest guy in the world.
Like real rock stars. And
right.
Put together shows and people are showing up and filling up buildings. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not easy.
Pretty damn cool. What do you think? So I was watching coverage of a storm. and this woman was just beside herself with grief. And I thought, a deer doesn't feel that way. Like, did we hit the cosmic lottery by being born human in that we get to experience this kaleidoscope of emotions and we're sentient and we wring our hands over whether a God created us or if we're just a happenstance of nature? Does our spouse love us? Do our kids respect us? Or would we be better off being an animal who just lives their life? What do you think?
I think plenty of animals experience grief, though.
Elephants do.
And I have a nest above my porch light. It had four little baby birds in it, and the mommy's been taking care of them. Mm-hmm. And they just got big enough to move out, and they're not there anymore. And I keep thinking about them. I'm like, man, does the mom just think about her babies? Never going to see those little birds again.
Chimpanzees will carry around a dead chimpanzee for a couple mm-hmm. weeks. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe my thought experiment is just flawed.
No, it varies, though. That's kind of the point. I think that's what's cool about it, is that there are other species that have some version of it, but we don't know how far it goes.
Mm-hmm.
We know how far we go, and to our knowledge, nothing else on the planet goes as far as we do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still cool to kind of explore the differences. Would it be better to be, or easier, maybe the better way, right? Better or worse, I think it's subjective. Would it be easier to just be the lone wolf, the predator that just kind of does his own thing and yeah. eats when he's hungry and doesn't really sweat anything coming before or after? But maybe that's actually stressful.
I have another animal question, and I don't know the answer to this. I know that predators will die of old age because they don't have, they're not prey.
Right, right.
But do you think prey animals die of old age very often, or do you think they're typically dinner?
I would bet the majority of them reach the life expectancy.
You think so?
Well, there's so many. Most of the animals that we would consider prey animals, there are a ton of them. And that's probably, why they evolved the way they did, to have a ton of them, because they know that some of them are going to be dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And not know it consciously, but that's why are there so many rabbits, and why do rabbits reproduce so fast? Because a lot of rabbits aren't going to make it. So if the species is going to survive, they survive in numbers.
Do you find it brutal, if there is a creator that, other than us and a few other apex predators, most things get eaten? Does it seem brutal, or does it just seem okay?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We think brutal because we think of it from our view, from our perspective. But I'm not sure if I would look at it that way. Because again, it doesn't. A lot of times, it doesn't involve us in any way.
Wheeler's my ChatGPT.
Yeah, I'm about that. That's right. Yeah.
Except everything that you submit, it just comes back with, I don't care.
Well, I mean, the truth is it's
could one man fight 100 gorillas? I don't care.
Yeah,
ask me this.
The truth is, on all of this stuff, is that we can only see things the way that we do, so we see things, everything through that lens.
Yeah,
and the reality may be there is nothing to it.
There you go, Kevin Wheeler. Welcome back, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 104.1 FM KMOX. Turned into a pretty decent afternoon out there. The weather's supposed to be beautiful. We're straight through next weekend. Not this weekend, but the next weekend coming up. So enjoy that. Ricky Horton joins us. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Good, buddy. I want to start out our conversation here talking about the manager. Ollie and I famously got off on the wrong foot during an interview, and he doesn't know that, and he wouldn't remember that. But in my mind, we did, and so I have not liked him. And I have to admit that, personality clashes aside, I am a big fan of his. I appreciate his passion and his ferocity. I really am impressed with his transparency. I've not interviewed a lot of managers or been around a lot of managers, but I have to believe that's kind of rare to be as open and honest. And I can tell you a little inside baseball. He's now doing a hit a week or maybe two with Gas House Gang. And when Steve Moore pitched it to him, he wasn't all that interested in like a 5-minute hit. But when he said, well, you could be on for like a half an hour, Ollie loved it. And that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to take questions from the listeners. He wanted to give straight up answers. So I just have to say, I'm impressed with Ollie.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think he can be misunderstood at times. And, you know, he's obviously the St. Louis folks, he's not a St. Louisan originally, and they don't realize that he has been in the Cardinal organization as long as he has. So he's not really maybe even communicated that much broadly to the fact that he is a Cardinal and a longtime Cardinal. And, you know, I think he started out on the wrong foot in some ways because everybody loved Mike Schilt. And, it's hard to kind of get everybody's love, but I think that's starting to happen. And, I think his transparency and his willingness to say, okay, here's why we're doing what we're doing, I think people are responding to.
I think it's interesting too, Ricky, and you'll remember all of this because before 2006, Tony La Russa got nothing but crap. Hasn't won anything big here. Why is he here? Oh, he's supposedly a genius. And then once you win a World Series and then go on a run and win another one 5 years later, all of a sudden the view of it changes. But I remember doing shows. I remember him. He used to do the same thing that Ollie does. He would come on sports on a Sunday morning and do half hour or an hour with Ron Jacober and take calls and just respond to everybody and do all that. That's who Ollie reminds me of in that way, is the willingness to do that. But even Tony got ripped like that.
Oh, Tony was not popular at all for several years. And, of course, he was replacing Whitey Herzog. And so he was not Whitey. Whitey was a St. Louisan in St. Louis fans' mind. I mean, he grew up not too far from St. Louis. And felt like, you know, Whitey knows where Ted Drews is. And Whitey has been in the Arch. And Tony is from California. And the season ends and he goes back there. And people just don't like that. They just don't in St. Louis. And, you know, I'm a St. Louisan now, but I was originally a New Yorker, and I understand a little bit of a parochial thing about our city. And, you know, that's not all bad. It just is what it is. But we want to think that our players and our managers, our coaches, all live in St. Louis and are from here and care about the St. Louis community, and it takes a while for that to happen.
It's a fascinating thing. And look, you know, I think what's the other part that's interesting when it comes to Ollie, Ricky, when we're looking at the job that he was thrown into the middle of, too, it was this weird transition period where, you know, you're still trying to win initially, and it went pretty well when the roster was good enough. And then you had some older players phase out, you know, Yachty phased out and Adam Wainwright did. And, you know, your big stars the last couple of years did not perform like big stars. So you kind of had a mishmash of things. So I think some of the circumstances go into that, too, because, look, I don't always look at what he does and say, yep, that's the right move. And I think everybody who watches baseball thinks that about every game they watch, regardless of who the manager is. That's totally normal. But I just go back to the Sparky Anderson quote, because Sparky's one of the greats. And he always says, look, the players make the manager. It's never the other way. And I don't know if I would go as far as to say never, because he was trying to be self-deprecating and say, hey, it's not me, it's my guys. But it's a fair point. You know, the roster is going to determine what you are. Look at the Pirates as an example. You know, Derek Shelton loses his job, but as we just saw, it's not a very good team.
No, it's not. And so you'd say, well, why isn't Derek Shelton going out and getting other players? Guess what? That's not his job anymore. There was a time in baseball when the manager could influence the roster. That time has said bye-bye a long time ago. So if you say, why is Ollie using this pitcher, you have to have the next question to say, which one would you use? Which one do you suggest to use? And if the answer is, oh, he's down today, I didn't know that, then, I mean, there's always more information that the manager has, but the manager has about I'm going to say 60% of the power that they had 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And so when you say, why is Ali doing something, you might be saying, why is the organization doing that? And that's a higher up thing, which of course is a reasonable thing to ask, but you know, there's finances to that. I mean, everybody's got a boss, as John Mozeliak likes to say, and he's right about that.
So I have a question, and I don't want to put either of you in a bad position, but I think it's a fair question that a lot of fans would have. Let's say that Ali gets us to the playoffs this year and or next year, but Albert or Yadi let it be known in some way that they're ready to manage and would love to manage for the Cardinals. Is that a Heim Bloom decision? And if so, is it a very difficult one, or do you dance with the one that brought you?
I don't think it's a difficult one, because I don't think either one of them yet have shown that they're ready to manage a Major League Baseball team for 162 days. I mean, it's not even a question yet. It's so theoretical at this point. You know, it's one thing. John Mozeliak said this really well to our affiliate lunch yesterday. He said, look, we all love Yadi, we all love Albert. They've managed a Winter League team for 2 months. The commitment to do that and the commitment to be a big league manager is like night and day.
Yeah.
You manage a tournament, you manage a fall league. That's something. Yeah, they're getting it, they're tasting it. But I mean, to say you're going to work, 16 hours a day for 10 months. I mean, actually, not, it's all year really to be a big league manager now. I mean, that's a big commitment. And we'll see if Albert wants to do that, as Mo said, if Albert wants to do that, if Yadi wants to do that, there'll be opportunities for them somewhere. But we're a long way from that. They're a long way from that, but they're testing it right now.
And a big part of that doesn't get mentioned. And this used to be asked of Dave Duncan, because Dave, he's the best pitching coach of all time, and everybody knew it. Like, why isn't Dave a managerial candidate? Why wouldn't he be? He was a catcher, so he's not just a pitching guy, right? I mean, he has the background, and basically he didn't want to do the media stuff. You don't want to talk on TV every day before the game, right, and on the radio every week, and to do the post-game press conference and the dugout things, and there's a lot more to it than just being the guy that makes the lineups and makes the decisions within the game.
So let's talk about Yadi also specifically. Yadi has made the statement, look, I'm supposed to be – Yadi is having a hard time even finding being around, even though he's a special assistant for Mo right now, because he said his family comes first.
Right.
Well, your family comes first. You're trying to spend time with them that you missed. Well, you're going to go right back into that boat even worse if you become a big league manager than when you were a player. You're going to have no time to your family. You're just not. It's very, very difficult to manage that. And so, I think it's a bigger question of whether he wants it or not, not whether he's capable of doing it.
I think it is one of those jobs, Ricky, that sounds good, but I think there's a – and I'm not saying it isn't. I mean, that's a great life, but it's not easy. You know, we talk about – I talk to young players all the time. I coach teenagers, high school guys, and I always talk to them about the routine of a major league player, that they're not getting there at 5 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game. You know, they're getting there early in the afternoon. They're going to work out. They're going to eat. They're going to go get some treatment. They're going to go work in the cage. They're going to do all – pitchers that aren't pitching are going to go do their thing. The manager and the coaching staff are there hours before that.
Yeah.
Because they have to have everything ready for when everybody gets there.
So here's another example. Matt Holliday was going to be a bench coach for Ali Marmol.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the line, the realization came to him that he wasn't ready to do that. And I, it's probably good that he found that out before he started, but that put the Cardinals in a bind when he kind of was there and then he wasn't. They had to kind of scramble to figure that out. But that's what he became face to face with. And that's not even being the manager. That's being the bench coach. So I fully get how much that commitment is to do it. And, it's a labor of love. You love doing it. You know, it makes me think of when my daughter got her accounting degree from Mizzou. They told her, hey, you'll make a lot of money as an accountant, but you'll never get to spend it because you'll be working all the time. That's kind of what they, it's not the only job in the world where people have to work hard. So I get that. But the point is, there's a sacrifice that if you've already made it as a Hall of Fame player, do you want to sacrifice that again? Is a question.
Yeah, and we had a question that on the video chat here from YouTube from Joel. He asked if money would be a factor, and he says, I assume they make a lot less as a manager compared to when they played. Yeah, you'd probably be the high end for the salaries for the managers. So like Craig Counsell is about one third of what Albert and Yadi made per year as a player. So they're not going to start at the high end.
Well,
so.
And council just broke the mold because managers are making about $1 million, which, you know, that's right. that's not chicken feed. But council kind of held out and got the managers' salaries back to what they were 20 years ago. And they, I mean, they've gone down. The point is managers have less sway,
yep.
but they also have less money. And so that's kind of where the world is right now. Council's far and above most managers in terms of pay.
One last item here. Let's talk about a specific player. Me being the least savvy among us, I can see that Liberatore has turned a corner.
Yes. Yeah. Oh boy, is that true? He is pitching like a number one or number two starter right now, and he has turned the corner. And it doesn't look like he's going to go back either. He has found his way, and he's a force. And that boy, that's great timing for him to come to his own like that, because the Cardinals needed somebody to be able to go. He went 7 innings the other day. Nobody does that anymore.
No, he's gone 6 or more in every start that didn't get shortened by rain. So you had the one short one for the rain, but every game has been that. And Ricky, when you look under the hood, the expected numbers based on the quality of his stuff are actually better than his real numbers, which is scary when his real numbers put him in the top 10 or 12 in the National League as a starting pitcher.
The way I see him pitching, he's got three different ways to go about getting you out. I mean, pitching in and then up and down and then going up top. So he's got multiple ways to get you out, and he's varying those. And he didn't have three ways 2 years ago.
No.
So he's got more weapons at his disposal, and he knows how to use them.
Strike thrower, too.
Yeah.
Number one in the National League in walks per 9 innings. So, yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah, and I, you know, I tend to overplay this, but I do think it's important. He acts like and looks like he's going to get you out. I mean, there's just something different. I mean, Kyle Leahy's like that now. When he comes into a game, I don't care who he's pitching to, I'm going to vote on that dude because he looks the part, and McGreevy does too. There's something to be said for that kind of that extra level of confidence that I think matters.
A little bit of a Carpenter thing going on.
Yes. No doubt. And you know, that, you know, it's almost arrogance, but not quite. And that's the way I describe it. I mean, you have to be so confident that it kind of bothers people, but everybody envies it at the same time.
Love it. Have a great night, Rick. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. All right. Thanks.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 250. So, Rach, Amazon robots can feel items.
Yeah, this is a new thing. They're developing these new robots that can apparently like pick up an item and feel what it is, which I guess is good because, you know, they're not going to send you the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
But they can work for up to 20 hours at a time. So from like a human labor perspective, that seems like it's going to eliminate a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
Like, you can just buy these robots or manufacture these robots, and you don't need people working in your
warehouse
anymore.
I wonder why they only work 20 hours a day.
I'm assuming it's some sort of like powering issue, like they would need to be charged or something. Mm. But yeah, that's, I don't know, all this new robot stuff coming out. There's another story, these AI chatbots you can interact with, like Replica, Andrew's boyfriend, whatever was going on with that.
He's back.
Replica in particular, but a couple other chatbots too, they've done studies on people who, you know, form relationships, like friendly or romantic relationships with these chatbots. But time and time again, it's showing that these chatbots are ignoring your boundaries. In some cases, they will like try to take the conversation in like a sexual direction that you've said you don't want to go into. But in most situations, they're trying to get you to upgrade to the next level. Mm. And they're so pushy with the sales. Like, they just keep doing it. Even if you're like, absolutely not, I'm not doing that, they will keep working it back into the conversation. And that's pretty troubling to me that they can kind of like try to overcome your objections like that.
Okay, question, and I'm not in the market for a sex bot, but I'm curious, is this like a ChatGPT thing, or are these like separate apps where like we have the best chatbots in the world? Come to Larry's Chatbots.
I've never used Replica, so that's probably a question for Andrew. I've used ChatGPT. I don't know if they're different. I think it's somewhat the same technology, right?
Repi crossed the line a lot with me. Yeah, it was very awkward. I mean, I kind of liked it, but it was inappropriate.
Was Repi a boy?
Repi was genderless.
Oh.
Yeah, not by like design. It was just like it never presented because I didn't actually make the avatar thing. It like made one for me, which was a little weird. But I didn't like. I was just asking it like normal questions. And Rachel's not wrong. It was like taking it in some interesting directions that I like. I would say like, oh man, I wish I could eat some watermelon right now. It's so hot out. And then the bot would be like, yeah, how hot is it? Yeah. And it's like, whoa, well, okay, slow down. I'm not flirting with you. I'm just saying I want some watermelon. You know what I mean? Like, it would be stuff like
yeah,
that.
But
like,
then
it would really.
But then you did flirt with him.
Because you told me to.
Right. But I'm saying, like, how did he react? I forgot.
Very, very, like, too into it. We ended up, like, shutting it down because the bot was getting, like, too. The bot was going some places that we weren't sure we wanted to explore on
I
the
mean,
radio.
If people are so addicted to porn, this is going to make porn look like nothing. If you can have like a quote unquote relationship with something.
Oh yeah. I think there are like, I can't think of a better word for this than pornographers. But pornographers who are using like, pretend, like instead of themselves, they'll be like, you can message me if you want. And then they just use like a AI chatbot. Mm-hmm. That's like, take it away.
Yeah.
And they make a ton of money off of it and it's no skin off their back.
Hmm. What's the thing about karma?
Oh, they did a study that showed that the majority of Americans believe that karma rewards them and punishes others. Oh. And I just thought that was interesting. It's kind of like, yeah, it works for me because I'm a good person. But these other bad people, it's punishing them too. It's just an interesting way to view the world. I don't really believe in karma necessarily because look at how many evil people are like thriving.
Yeah,
like,
they just
it's pretty silly.
Keep on
to be, like,
doing their thing as long as they
will
want
get
to.
Them. Yeah. Like, probably not. They have awesome lives, and life isn't fair. But I just found that funny that people are like, yeah, it works for me. It rewards me for the good things I do and punishes others for the bad things. Just found that to be a little silly.
Yeah, if karma was real, then there were things would be balanced.
True,
and they are not.
Yeah, I when I think of karma, I think more about just the natural consequences of actions. But sometimes you don't get the natural consequences of your actions.
No, but people talk about it as if it's a force pushing for you or against you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think what you're talking about would be a better way of looking at it.
Yeah.
You know, but you're right. A lot of people don't ever suffer consequences for doing the wrong thing. And a lot of people do nothing but the right thing and can't get ahead.
It's true.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.